Welcome to Connection Point, the podcast of West Kern Christian Center. For more information regarding the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit our website at wkcconnect.org. And now for the message.
Hello, friends. Once again, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. This is Randy Bunch, pastor of West Kern Christian Center. And right out of the gate, I want to invite you and your family and friends to join us this Sunday and every Wednesday as well. Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a time of worship, ministry from the Word of God, and of course, fellowshipping with God's people. Our mission statement is connecting people to His purpose. We believe God's called you to live a successful and purposeful life. God's got a plan for you. He's called us all to be world changers and history makers, and we want to help to equip you to do the work of service that God has called you to do and to be a part of a family. God's called each and every one of us to live in community one with another, to love one another, to encourage and edify one another through the gifts He's entrusted to each and every one of us. So we would love for you to be a part of our church family if you are looking for a home church in the Taft area. Last week we began to air a two-part broadcast. It was really a radio interview that I did with Caitlin Hashem. She interviewed me as I began to step into a role there at Summit Bible College. Caitlin serves as the assistant to the president, Dr. Victor, of Summit Bible College. And so she interviewed me as I was beginning to teach a course there. Actually, I stepped into the last 4 weeks of a quarter, so I stepped in at mid-quarter and taught the remaining portion of a course called Healing and Wholeness. And for that, I used my book, The Gospel Saving Power, as a textbook. And so in this interview, Caitlin and I talked quite a bit about the subject of healing. We covered it from a lot of different aspects. I felt the interview went very well. We got a lot of great feedback. She asked a lot of great questions that led to a very fruitful, I felt, discussion. And so we aired the first part of that last week, so you can download that and listen to that at your leisure. And this week, we are airing the second portion of that. Before we get into that, as we say at the beginning of every broadcast, we want you to know, too, that there are resources available to you at our website, wkcconnect.org. Again, that's wkcconnect.org. We have a lot of wonderful free resources, from the broadcasting of the podcast to the blog page to our healing school that has both PDF course outlines as well as the messages themselves. Just so many resources free and available. You can also order from the website my book, The Gospel Saving Power. If you'd like to get a copy of that, you can get it digitally, or you can get a paperback copy from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. You can get a digital version through them as well. So all of that material is available, as well as the opportunity to purchase our book if you would like. One of the things we highlighted last week, and particularly being around the holiday season, Christmas time, we talked a little bit about the new link we have on our website regarding the orphans in Pakistan. Our church more or less adopted an orphanage some time back, and something that I kind of brought out cautiously, because there are so many needs in our community, certainly in our nation stateside, and sometimes people feel the need to address those needs locally before they reach out and touch people on a global level. But our people have just responded so well and just kind of taken these orphans to heart, and we are their sole support for food outside of the people that are working their boots on the ground that are actually over this orphanage in Pakistan. But we're the ones who really kind of supply the finances to help these kids eat on a regular basis. And they've reached out for other support. And by the way, we know these people. They are have a tremendous ministry. They do large crusades. They pastor churches. They have a relatively large team. I would guess there's somewhere between 16 to 20 people on their ministry team that go out and do these crusades, do discipleship. They're doing great things to reach their nation of Pakistan for Christ. And, you know, with all the troubles that we have in the world, what better way to help to diffuse them, to let some young people know that it was Jesus that provided the food that I ate growing up. And so it's a tremendous opportunity that God has really literally dropped in our lap. Next year, it's my hope to go to Pakistan and be able to see these kids face to face, as well as do some ministry there. But if you would like to be involved with this ministry, you can do that by giving. Anything you donate through PayPal, by clicking our donate button on that page. Orphans of Pakistan will go 100% to those kids. In fact, more than that, because as we said, we give generously to them every month as well. We're not a large church at this season. We've not even been going 2 years yet, but this is our missions outreach, as well as some of the things we talked about last week in reaching out to the needs of children and families in our own community, a ministry we call PACS, P-A-C-S, Practical Acts of Compassion. We fed several families at Thanksgiving time. We intend to do more for some of the families in our community around Christmas. But God has given us this opportunity to reach these kids in the nation of Pakistan. It's about 34 to 36 children there that we feed every month. We're their sole support outside of the people that are there themselves. And what a privilege it is. It's just been such a great thing for our people to grab hold of this vision. And they have done so. And they have been very committed to it. Very, very thankful that God has put that liberality in their hearts toward these kids. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can give on that link. Just go to our website. I think it's on the Connect link. You drop down and check out the whole website. Like we said, a lot of wonderful resources there. But anything you donate, when you have an opportunity to leave a little message there, a comment before you confirm your gift, you can write in there, kids or orphans or Pakistan, orphans of Pakistan, any of the above, we will know, and we will make sure that 100% plus of that gift goes to those kids, because as we said, we will add to it and make sure that these kids are blessed. They don't have a lot, but what they have, they're very thankful for, and we consider it a great privilege to be a part of helping to meet the needs of those kids. So we're going to now air the second half of that radio interview I did with Caitlin Hashem. We trust it's a blessing to you. Hey, listen, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wkcconnect.org. Again, that's info@wkcconnect.org. Go to the website. You can actually fill out a contact form. You can also go to the blog site and click follow, and every week you will receive a brand new blog entry from me. I write one once a week at least, and we believe those will be a blessing and enrich your life as well. God bless you, and enjoy the broadcast.
This is Caitlin Hashem coming back at you from the Carrie Studio. This is 1410 AM, Carrie, the Christian station. Real, deep, and true. This is a Summit Bible College broadcast, and I'm on the show with Pastor Randy Bunch. Hello, Pastor.
Hello.
Yes, we just took a quick break, and we're talking about healing. And Greg made the comment over the break that you and I packed in an hour of content in 29 minutes.
Absolutely. I actually had a friend one time that was visiting my house, a fellow brother pastor. You know, he's preaching for me. And I had a radio broadcast. This is years ago, probably 20-plus years ago, 30 years ago maybe. And he runs into my room and says, Randy, they messed up your broadcast. It's like going too fast. And so I listened for a moment. I said, no, brother, that's it. That's fine.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Oh, man, it's true. You and I talk fast, but we're excited. And it's just so, it's cool to me. Everybody has a different personality. Yeah. You know, God loves us just how we are. And yeah. I used to be insecure about how hyper I am and how excitable I am. And, you know, when I was younger, it was used against me. And now that I'm in the Lord and that I'm healed and set free, God uses it. And
Amen.
He uses you and your energy. And
Amen.
Were you hyper as a kid? I got to know this.
Yeah, I was a spaz. I was.
Tell me what you were like in a classroom setting.
Oh, no, you really don't want to know. I was like one of the, you know, just turn Randy on and we'll watch him for a while. I was pretty wild when I was little. Yeah.
Trust me. I was the same way. Okay.
Yeah.
Trust me. I was just all over it. We went to a baseball game for my nephew. And it was so funny. There's this little kid on the team and he is hilarious. He's using his baseball bat like a machine gun. He's on the side and he's just so entertained. He's in his own little world. You know how kids just get into their imagination and you can just watch them. And my mom's just like, haha, she's laughing. And she's like, he's a little you, Galen. Yeah. That's how you were when you were younger. You were all over the place. And I'm like, but you know, God uses us and he knows how he made us. And it's just so great to be able to accept who we are. And you know what? We're happy to be here today. We're welcoming you listeners, Florida listeners, Tennessee. Hello, Bakersfield. Hello.
Yeah.
And, for those of you who are in other areas who are listening online, welcome. As I mentioned last broadcast, and Caitlin Hashem, the host of the show. We're live every Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock. This is the Summit Bible College broadcast, and I love to hear feedback on the show, and I'm sure that my co-hosts like to hear if somebody's listening and they caught a rhema word and they got a healing or they got a victory or something impacted them. Yeah. We want to hear about it. So email us at info@summitbiblecollege.com and let us know about what your thoughts are on the show and give us feedback. It helps a lot. I actually was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago about the show who's an avid listener, and he gave me some constructive feedback and I appreciated it so much. So thank you for that. And thank you for listening. Today we're talking about healing, and we're really titling this broadcast, The Gospel's Saving Power. And it's interesting because my guest, Pastor Randy Lane Butch, yep. You wrote a book on The Gospel's Saving Power.
Amen.
So, and what year did you say that was published?
That was published in, I want to say it was early, I'm sorry, no, 2013. I think it was like right at the beginning of 2013.
And how long was this in the works?
To be honest with you, it's kind of like a life's work in one sense, because healing is something I've been teaching and preaching on for so long that really, like I said, when I sat down to write it, I just sat down and pounded it out. You know, within a couple of months it was done. So it's really kind of the culmination of just years and years of teaching. And it had happened to go in the format that the God had been dealing with me at that time.
That's amazing. So before we get right back into the teaching, he and I will just jump right back into that. I wanted to mention Summit Bible College is in the works of preparing the classes for the winter quarter, which begin January 4th. It's a great time to sign up. I told you last broadcast, but hey, hear it again. We're having a killer special, half off the down payment if you can provide 5 references of people who would potentially be interested in Summit Bible College. We have degrees in theology with emphasis in many different areas, including Christian counseling, biblical leadership, pastoral studies, biblical studies. I mean, the list goes on. We have such great curriculum. It's the top curriculum from people who are experts in their field. The books are just phenomenal. I give so many of my Summit Bible College books away. When I started as a student, it was prior to working at the college, and I had this little bookcase, and the books are so good. You know, like when you're done with a BC book, it's like you want to burn it. You know what I'm saying? Like you're like, I'm done with you. I'm reading geography right now, and I'm like, you are not of God. Just kidding. It has its place, but you definitely don't want to burn any of the books at Summit. They're just such great resources. And so it's just interesting. If you have a heart for God, I mean, don't you want to study something that you love?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it make all the difference in the success
Absolutely.
When you love something?
Yeah, it does.
You know, you do so much better at succeeding when you love it. You know,
yeah.
I'm barely getting through this geography class I'm in, you know, and hey, I mean, I'm learning a lot, that's for sure. But I just love the Word of God. I love that Summit Bible College is a place where you can get equipped for ministry. And it's so beyond theory. It's like every single time you walk out of the place, you're able to immediately apply what you've learned.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff you were talking about in class on Tuesday night, I mean, wasn't that so applicable to everyday life?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. Yeah. Just walking out the truth of the Word of God in our lives. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for listening to the show, and call us at 661-328-1151 and look us up online at summitbiblecollege.com. And so that's that. Let's get back into the teaching. I wanted to ask you a question really fast.
Sure.
Jesus asks in Scripture, I've heard him ask this before, to a person who approached him for healing, do you want to be well?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do you have any comments on that in regards to healing?
Yeah, you know, I kind of mentioned this the other night when blind Bartimaeus was finally called by Jesus to approach him to receive his miracle. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said other things similar to that. And like the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made well? And it sounds like such a almost unkind question, like, what do you mean, do I want to be made well? Of course I want to be made well. But like we shared the other night, people are at sometimes varying levels of faith. And it's amazing that long-term sickness, people learn to accommodate it. In fact, they really don't know what would my life be like, who would I even be if I didn't have this? Or some people so identified with what they have that they would not know what life would be like if they're free. When Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, you know, do you want to be made? Well, he kind of looked around and said, well, you see, I have no man. And so his life had readjusted to this less than life, and Jesus didn't want him to have that less than life. And of course, he just told the man, take your bed and rise and walk. And of course, he was gloriously healed. I have a friend, I shared this story the other night. I may not have the details perfect, but this is the gist of it. He was ministering to an individual who came up in the prayer line, and the man had, you know, the red and white cane, and he was obviously blind. And he said, you know, he said, what can I do for you? Kind of expecting the obvious reply, well, I'd like to receive my sight. And he said, well, I've got a little pain. And he kind of described his discomfort and so forth. And my friend kind of paused and smiled, and everybody kind of got that uncomfortable silence. You could say, well, what about, you know, what about your eyes? And when my friend mentioned it to him, he was like, oh, yeah, well, sure. And he had just so learned to live with that, that he had never really thought of what could life be if I had my sight restored. Long story short, my friend prayed with him, and before he left, I believe this was overseas, it might have been back in the Soviet bloc nations right after the wall came down, but anyway, there was some like engraved writing on the stonework on the wall, and that man was reading that before he left. Oh. But he just hadn't even thought to ask for healing for that. So a lot of times we've just learned to accommodate certain things. We've kind of given up, like the one with the issue of blood. Spent all she had was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And they have just learned to live with, if you will, accommodate this condition rather than really stir their expectations up to believe God for something better.
That is so true. I brought it up for something a little bit different, and I'm glad you brought that angle in. This question, do you want to be well, hits us right in our core.
Yeah.
Because there are some people, believe it or not, who don't want to be well.
No, that's right.
And to me, that's something to address, because you have to want it in order to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I've had to pray for myself when I, early on in my walk with the Lord, when he radically healed me, I'm telling you, he changed my whole desires.
Yeah.
He changed
yeah.
my whole makeup. I wanted yeah. to smoke weed for the rest of my life. Okay. I'm telling you, I
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Lord, well, I know it. I know what you say and what your word says. And I know that this isn't good, but help me want it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
help me want it.
Yeah.
And so Jesus does ask the man in John chapter 5, and starting with verse 5, actually, it says, one of the men lying there around this pool had been sick for 38 years.
Yeah.
When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? And the man responded, I can't, sir, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me.
Yeah.
Verse 8, Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And then verse 9, instantly the man was healed. So I wanted to kind of just address that for a second when he said, I can't, sir.
Yeah.
So Jesus knows this guy's reason and his heart, and he knows everything. But how many of us are sitting here listening to this show today right now, and we have something going on, okay? We got something going on. There's a back pain that we have, or there's an addiction that we have.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just something that's just not in alignment, and we know that it's not. It's kind of that in that secret place, right? We have it in our closet. It's a skeleton, okay?
Right.
And we're just like thinking to ourselves, I can't. You know?
Yeah.
What is that really saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that really saying? A lack of faith,
right?
A doubt, but it's also saying a contentment, and almost like we've identified with it.
Well, I was gonna say we were fearful. What would life be like? What responsibilities? What renew definement of my life would this involve? I can't use this. I'm not trying to say this is true of everyone, but I can't use this any longer as an excuse not to live up to the full potential of what God's called me to do and live out my dreams. You know, and you see that a lot. You know, there's a great verse in Psalm 23, which is a psalm about Christ being our shepherd. And it says that he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I always say we can feast in the face of our foes right now because of what Jesus did for us. It's not a heavenly feast. It's a right now feast because we can feast in the face of our enemies. And I always say in the light of that, how dare we allow the blessings of God to rot on the banquet table of redemption when they came at the awesome price of the blood of Jesus Christ?
Whoa, you got to repeat that.
How dare we allow the blessings of God to rot on the banquet table of redemption when they came at the awesome price of the blood of Jesus Christ?
Whoa.
Yeah. So really, if you think about it, we have an obligation. If someone makes a wonderful meal for you, prepares something magnificent for you, or just goes out of the way to purchase something that they know you need or want, and you say, You know, that's not showing great deep appreciation. We really have an obligation to live up to the fullness of the redemption Christ provided for us, not only for our sake, but we're to be trophies of redemption. You know, there's a great verse where the Bible says that we comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted by God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think verses 3 and 4. And I love the phrase somebody came up with out of that passage. He is the God who wastes nothing. So no matter how far down you've been, no matter what you've been through, no matter what kind of scarring, what kind of abuse, what wrong choices you've made, God can restore you, heal you like a Mary Magdalene, and make you a trophy of redemption and put you on display for the rest of the world to see. And that's what he wants to do in people's lives.
Yes, I just pray that we want it.
Yeah.
Amen. I pray that we would want it.
Yeah.
I pray that the people that are listening today that have an addiction or have something that they depend on, you know, one of my really good friends, she's actually listening right now. She was talking about how she had this addiction to cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like her friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She would go smoke cigarettes when she would get stressed
it's
out. And it
was
just,
yeah.
It was just her friend. It was
yeah.
like her old friend, you know?
Sure.
And she's just, this woman is amazing. You know who you are. I've watched her just walk into such amazing just acknowledgement of her identity in Christ and what she's capable of and what he's doing for her is just powerful in her life right now, but she's let it go. And to see somebody willing to say, you know what, that's not going to be my crutch anymore. God
right.
has something better for me
yeah.
says a lot, but we first have to get to that place of wanting it. We have to want what's
yeah.
on the other side. And there's
that's
so
right.
much more on the other side.
That's a huge thing. You know, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for that which is before. You can't reach for what's before if you're always holding on to what's back there. And these might even just be things. Last night I was ministering in our congregation, and I was laying hands on people. I shared later, one of the things that came to me very strongly when I was laying hands on one individual was shame. Shame. And oftentimes we might carry condemnation, guilt, shame, choices we made back in our yesteryear. And I love something that Lester Sumrall said one time. He said, your background does not have to determine your foreground. You can let your background go, and you can have a brand new tomorrow. You can have a brand new life if you'll embrace what Christ has wrought, receive his healing, his restoration, his forgiveness, and move forward with life.
That's so powerful. So this is a really exciting topic today, and you and I are obviously very passionate about it. Tell me something that you've been healed from. I mean, you must have encountered the presence of God in a personal way for you to have such a hold on this ministry. I mean, even if it's just an attitude, if you can just tell a testimony, a personal testimony.
Yeah, you know, there's been several things, I think. You know, physical healing, certainly I've encountered those in my life. I've been very blessed with health and divine health. And that's one of the things, too, I think that we should highlight in this, is that it's not just about healing, but it's about living in our inheritance. And living well, and living whole, and living sound. And certainly there are those times where we're challenged. Good people find themselves in bad circumstances, and sometimes they need that healing, delivering virtue of God to reach down in their crisis. And it's not anything that they've done to bring it on themselves. The devil's just an evil devil. And sometimes he just seeks to attack people. And I think one of the areas for me in my life where I've really had to learn to appropriate my identity in Christ was in the mental realm. When I was a little bitty kid, I grew up in Southern Baptist Church, and you know, we weren't taught a lot about spiritual warfare. I just got saved at a very young age, and I remember being at Bible church camp one time, and about three of us boys had been saved, and there was one holdout, Mike. He hadn't gone forward yet. And we were weeping and crying like you do in church camp, you know, wanting your friends to get saved, and that Mike would get saved. I don't know if Mike went forward because he was just sick and tired of his crying every night at the church service, or if he really felt like he needed to be born again. But when he went forward, I remember this thought coming to my mind. Maybe you should go forward again too, you know, just to be sure. And it sounded like God, you know, he wants for me to be sure and all that kind of thing, as though God would forget whether my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it was a seed of doubt. I have no doubt that the devil just whispered in my ear, maybe you're not saved. Kind of like, if you be the Son of God type of thing, you know. And it was just this seed of doubt, but I didn't respond. I didn't act on it because I thought, well, everybody thinks I'm saved. And okay, now I'm guilty because I feel, okay, I'm full of pride. What's the deal here? And so it
confusion.
Just put this seed of doubt in my heart. And every time throughout my young life when I'd say, you know, I want to really press in with God, the devil would come back and say, yeah, but you know, you're not sure. Are you really saved? And it was just this tormenting affliction, I guess you could say, this kind of like what Paul says about this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, if you will. And he'd bring this reoccurring doubt, this reoccurring thought. And finally, I just came to the place where I really outgrew it. And let me say something about this too, because a lot of times we think of healing as an event. You know, I was sick and now I'm healed. But I love something that one particular minister brought out. There's a verse in the scripture that all of us charismatics are probably very familiar with. It's Isaiah 10:27, I believe it is, or 10:28, where it says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Yes!
Now, if you see that in the King James, that's how it will read. But if you read it in other translations, it will say things like this, that the yoke was destroyed because of fatness. And so somebody says, well, how do you get those two things? Well, it really comes down to how that word anointing is translated. But it really does mean fatness. Now, in America, we don't want fatness. We think that's evil, that's bad, I'm going to die, I'm going to lose weight. But in the East, even to this day, if a person is of good size, like me, then they'll say, you know, you're prosperous, you're blessed, because you have plenty to eat, you know, you're full, all that kind of thing. So what it's really talking about there, he is telling the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, you're going to bust the bonds of the Assyrians because you're going to outgrow it. You're going to burst out of those bonds. And I like what one individual said. He said, you know, there are some things we go through in life that we may not know how to get free, but if we'll just keep growing. And he brought out the illustration of like a tree that's planted like on the street in like maybe a concrete planter area. And that tree is kind of contained by its environment, but as that tree begins to grow, it will lift that concrete and burst out of its containment. And oftentimes what we need to do is just continue to grow in Christ, continue to stay connected with Him. And the more we mature, the more we grow, the more we come to the knowledge of who He is and what He's provided for us, one day we'll turn back and we'll realize those shackles just don't fit anymore. We've outgrown them. We've walked away from them because we've just matured into a place where the devil's former lies just have no grip on us anymore.
Yes, and amen. That is a great illustration, and I could definitely identify with that personally as well. I wanted you to make a comment, Pastor Randy, on what do you believe the benefit of Bible college is? What do you believe the benefit of Summit Bible College could be to a minister?
Yeah, you know, I had my time too, a couple years in Bible school years ago, and what it does is it fast tracks you. You know, I'm an avid reader. I love to read. I'm always reading about 5 books at a time, you know. But what college does, it puts you in a concentrated environment where not only are you learning from people who are, like you said, experts in their field, receiving good materials to supplement, you know, throughout the week as you're doing your textbook reading and so forth and so on. But you're also in an environment, and this is a huge thing, with other hungry people. It's very difficult to grow in an environment where nobody's hungry, nobody's interested, everybody's kind of just blasé about it. But when you're around other hungry people and they begin to ask questions and it sparks something on the inside of you. I remember when I was in India one time speaking at a Bible school. And I mean, it was a smaller building. It's pretty good size, maybe 50 people in there. And I'm speaking through an interpreter and I'm teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I taught for 5-6 hours straight. Loved every second of it. Mm. Those people were so hungry. And in that environment with that corporate hunger, they just drew things out of me I didn't even know I knew, you know. And then when I got done with that, we took a little break and then I spoke to the evangelist group. Some of those people had already started 50 churches. After I left, in fact, some of them had actually been beaten for their faith and for their work for God.
Oh my goodness.
But when you're in that environment and wow. You're hearing the word of God, it just fast tracks you. You go in one way, you come out another way, and you come out equipped, like you said. That's the job of the fivefold ministry, is to equip the saints to do the work of service. And I know personally, as a minister, I don't want to do the work of God by myself. In fact, I was sharing with you the other day, it's my desire to be part of a team, to be a part of a collaboration of people who want to do the work of God together. And that's one of the great advantages of Bible school. Puts you in an environment with other hungry people, and you just learn so much by being in that environment.
Yes, and that's why you need to call Summit Bible College at 661-328-1151. Go online. Don't hesitate. Don't be shy. SummitBibleCollege.com. And I want to speak to something really quick. You are worthy by the blood of Jesus. Okay, I talked to a gal the other day, and she had actually downloaded a catalog from the college in 2012. She's downloaded like 3 catalogs. And she hadn't spoken with anybody because I think anytime someone at the college would try to call her, she wouldn't answer. And anytime someone at the college would email her, she wouldn't answer. She expressed to me, I got her on the phone. She expressed to me, that she felt unworthy. And I think that there's a lot of people who are listening today that feel like, you know, I can't be a minister. I'm unworthy. But you know what? That is a slap to God's face because he Jesus died so that you could be washed with the blood. So just receive it. There's no other way that I can explain it, but just receive the blood of Jesus and trust that he's going to equip you. It's not your own strength or your own might when you go out on these trips, or when you go onto the mission field, or when you're talking to someone at the gas station. That is the Holy Spirit in you. When you come into an environment like you're saying, where the word of God is exalted and everybody's on the same page and they're seeking after the Lord, and you're being taught by an amazing person who's walking in that ministry, it feeds your spirit, and you can't help but come into a place of overflow.
Amen.
You can't help it.
Yeah.
So you're out the door and you're talking, you're preaching the gospel.
That's right.
And so just call us at 661-328-1151. And we have about 3 minutes left. What are some of the last thoughts that you have to leave the listeners with today? Maybe you want to pray, Pastor, whatever you feel led in that 3 minutes. What do you want to say?
Yeah, let me just say this real quick. You know, when Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, go preach the kingdom. He said, I don't want you just to preach. I want you to give them some kingdom samples. Kind of like when the Avon lady would come by, she'd pitch Avon, but she'd also give you some samples to get you hooked. Not only does God want us hooked on the samples, he wants us to sign on the bottom line, and then he wants us to become a kingdom distributor.
Wow!
So he wants you to not only imbibe these truths for yourself, but he wants you to go out and minister life to other people. So what I'd like to do, if that's cool, is just to pray for those of you that maybe have a condition in your life and you need that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for our listeners today that whatever their need is, whether it's a need for physical healing or a restoration in their soul, just to know, as we've said earlier, as Caitlin said, Father God, that we are worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ, that there's nothing in our past that disqualifies us from appropriating your goodness today. Father, I thank you for ministering life and healing. We thank you for testimonies of your power touching the lives of people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to be a kingdom distributor. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard. Seriously, that's amazing. What a great illustration. Hey, we hope that you've loved the show. We preached us happy. I am so
amen.
Happy.
Cool.
I'm so filled with joy. Thank you for listening, and we love you so much. And we pray that this message encouraged you, and I trust that it did, because the word of God is living and active, and it is all powerful, and it just cuts right through with love and with power. And so we believe that just ministered to you today, and we look forward to great reports. We look forward to you listeners, victories that are in your life, and you preaching the gospel and people getting saved. We look forward to that. So thank you for spending an hour with us today, and we love you very much. And, Pastor Randy, you're going to be around Summit for a while. So.
Amen. Praise God.
We're looking forward to that. So thanks for listening. This is 1410 AM Cary, the Christian station. We're live every Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock. And this is a Summit Bible College broadcast. And we love you so much. And we're so thankful for you. God bless.
We hope today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Again, to find out more about the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit us at wkcconnect.org. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can email us with your comments, questions, and prayer requests at info@wkcconnect.org. We would love to hear from you.